Okay. There we go. Hello. I hope you all are doing really, really well. We are starting a new module today for Sacred Depths. We are stepping into a module on visioning and strategizing. And that's what really what we're going to be looking at over the next three calls. So today we're going to focus deeply on the skill of visioning, and then next week we're going to focus on strategizing skills, and that also includes the energetics of new things. And then for the third call in the module, I'm going to be doing some modeling. So I'll be taking a volunteer, and we'll be doing a visioning call, and also like a sample first call in a way, and then we'll break down all of the different skills that I use. So this is a really fun module. It's I feel like we're getting deeper into some juicy stuff. So today, we're really looking at visioning, and I want to start off by sharing a short quote from an author named Keith Ellis, and this is from his book, The Magic Lamp, which I first read, oh my gosh, probably 14 years ago now, and it's like, it's a very quick read. It's a good little coachy book, and I recommend it, The Magic Lamp. Anyway, here's what Keith Ellis says in The Magic Lamp. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. And I think that this is a perfect quote to kick off our exploration of visioning and visioning skills, because what I have really come to learn over the years is that a big part of any coach's job, and really any job where you're working with another human being to get a result, whether it's to find a new home, like a real estate agent, right, or health or whatever it is, a really big part of the job is supporting your client to get clear on what they actually want. And as we'll see later in the call, that's not always as simple as it sounds. So really, the vision is at the heart of really any kind of coaching. It's the biggest picture of what the client wants for herself and for her life. So, for example, if we're looking at kind of like the biggest definition of vision, if you're a health coach, then the vision is your client's ultimate vision of what she wants for her health and her well-being. If you're a business coach, it's your client's ultimate vision of what she wants for her business and how her life fits into that, right? Because one isn't separate from the other. The vision is a detailed profile that becomes a guiding light for your client. It's a detailed profile that is a place to aspire to, a place to stay aligned with. It's a mecca of sorts. And there's a smaller definition of vision or how we use visioning skills as a coach. And it's kind of like we have, you know, we'll help clients create that biggest vision and then create sub-visions underneath that, right? So like the goals along the way. Another way of just understanding why visioning is so important is you can think about it this way. If you just kind of step into coaching a client without establishing between the two of you what your client's vision is, then it's almost like you're going to end up going aimlessly goal to goal without any real direction. If you don't have that bigger vision, it's really hard to determine what the goals are to get somewhere. And the analogy that I like to use for this, and, you know, a lot, unfortunately, this happens a lot in coaching where the bigger vision isn't established, and then it becomes like this analogy. Imagine if you were going on a cross-country road trip, right? Think about the difference between if you're just saying, like, I want to, let's say you're on the East Coast. Let's say you live in New York and you say, I want to go to the West Coast, right? That's not a very defined vision, right? There's a lot of locations on the West Coast. What would that road trip be like? How would you know what road to take? How would you know where to stop along the way, and how would you know when you really got to your destination when you got there? Think about the difference between that and saying, I'm in New York City and I'd like to take a road trip to San Francisco. Well, once you've defined that vision, right? I want to end up in San Francisco, then the road trip completely changes. Because then you can take a look at the map and say, okay, you know, it looks like I need to take this route and then this route and this route, and these are the places that I'm going to stop along the way, and this is when I know I'm going to be at the halfway point. And this is how long this trip is going to take, right? One is kind of aimless, the first way, and not really knowing if you're having success, if you're moving forward. And then the other way, you're able to be so much more precise. So that's what we're going for when we vision with clients. When there's a wishy-washy vision, when there is no real vision, it's just it doesn't go as smoothly. You know, and again, we can think about, like, let's use the example of the real estate agent, right? I always think of real estate agents as coaches, but I've had actually a number of real estate agents do coach training with me because that's an industry that I think is really transforming and looking for more heart and more depth. But anyway, you know, if a real estate agent would just start out and say, you know, let's just say, like, what's your price range, right? And that's that. And generally, where do you want to live? You know, what town do you want to live in? And what's your price range? She'd put that information into the computer, and there'd be hundreds, right, thousands maybe of homes for her to share with her clients. Like, they would just be aimlessly going and randomly looking at houses. But if the real estate agent takes the time to really establish with her client what the client is looking for, what is an ideal home, what does it mean to have a home, what do they want their lifestyle to be like, and how will a home reflect that, what does a home need in order to reflect the lifestyle that this client wants, where does this client work, and, you know, where do they want to be in their home to be in proximity to it? Are they indoor people? Are they outdoor people? You know, if the real estate agent takes the time to establish all of that, then there's so much more of a chance of getting the client what the client wants. As a side note, this concept of visioning isn't only important in your client sessions, it's really, really important both for your marketing and for your enrollment conversations. I won't get too much into that right now, but I'll just say that the more that you can, you know, every client is going to have their own separate vision, but the more that you can get clear on what your ideal client's general vision is, then the more you want to include that in your marketing materials and in your enrollment conversations. That's what's going to activate interest in working with you. Okay, so all of this sounds easy enough, right? We start working with clients. We help them create a vision for what they want. But there's actually a lot that can go wrong in this process. And the reason why I call this particular class today not just co-creating magnificent visions, but I call it co-creating magnificent visions that stick and flourish. The stick and flourish part is really important because what I just see happen so often when visioning isn't done the right way is that the client flip-flops, they change their vision, they don't know where they're going, they don't stay consistent, they don't show up to do the action steps, they get, you know, flustered, they get disenchanted, there can be, you know, all of that. So it's not just that we want to create a vision, we want to create visions that really stick and flourish. So what can go wrong? Why can it be so difficult? And what are some things that you need to be aware of? So, first thing I want to say on that is that the way I like to think of vision, your client's vision, and this can be either the biggest vision or if they're about to start a new project, right, creating the vision for that project, is if you can get that vision right with your client at the outset before you start taking actions. And by the way, when I say right, I don't mean 100% hit it on the mark exactly. Let's not fall into any myth of perfection here. You know, any kind of project, any kind of goal, any kind of vision is a living, breathing thing, and it's going to necessarily shift and change a little bit, but we want to get as close to the mark as we can. So when you can, you know, get the vision, you know, in the ballpark, like really close at the outset, then you're really building a strong foundation. So visioning is really one of the first things you want to do when you start working with a client. Because if you get that vision wrong, then the foundation isn't as strong. And then, you know, what happens when the foundation of a house isn't strong? If you don't create the foundation the right way, then it's like a house of cards. You could use the most expensive materials to build on top of that, but it's not going to, the house isn't going to be long-lasting, right? If you don't really have the right vision and you start moving in the direction, then your client may have some forward movement for a little bit, but it's not going to be long-lasting. It's not going to really work out. What can often happen or go wrong when visions are created is that they're not exactly aligned is one problem. Like, it's not actually exactly what the client wants. Maybe it's what they think they want, but it's not their true heart's desire. If you are moving towards a goal or a vision that's not your true heart's desire, it's going to be very hard to fulfill it. Or if you fulfill it, you're not going to actually feel really good about it, right, or the work that it took to get there. So that's that's one way that it can go wrong, is the vision is actually not really aligned. Or another way that it can go wrong is that it's not really realistic. So, again, you know, you always want to check your filters, right, and know that so much is possible for people. But, for example, if you're working with a client that's very, very, very recently widowed, let's say, like, and, you know, let's say in the last month, and this client's vision is to get married in the next 3 months, right, whatever it is, could be realistic, but probably not, right? There's a mourning process, a grieving process that maybe has to happen, a willingness to be available again, to start dating again, and understanding of what this person wants, you know, in their life, all of that. I think the reason that example came to mind is because very recently somebody told me a story of being set up. She's dating, and she got set up with someone. She got on the date with this person, and his wife had died a week before, right? Like, not totally realistic, right? So what can often happen is goals are created or visions are created, not really realistic, and then it doesn't work out so well. Another way that visioning can go wrong is when the client doesn't really believe that it's possible, right? So you can create a beautiful vision with your client that's aligned. It's really, you know, it's true to their desires and it's right for them and it's realistic. But if the client doesn't actually believe in that vision, if the client doesn't believe that they can achieve that vision, then that's not a strong foundation. You can come up with the most sophisticated strategy in the world then to accomplish it, but something is going to be off there. Right? So whether it's misaligned or not realistic or not believable, you know, all of this leads to it either not getting done or the client getting stuck or stymied or having difficulty or not having motivation, or the client being drained by trying to get it done, or the client, as I said, gets it done but doesn't really feel happy or satisfied, right? And I'm sure we've all had this experience for ourselves at some point in our lives where we've just gone after a vision or a bigger goal that just either wasn't right for us or wasn't realistic, or we just didn't really believe in it, and we didn't have such great results. So what I have found is that there are a lot of coaches that actually aren't even aware that a big part of their job is to even help their clients get clear on these things, right? So simple, but number one, this is your job. Number two, for coaches that haven't, or practitioners that haven't learned about filters, that might be in their way of really supporting a client to create a vision. But everybody in this training is now aware of filters. And so, yeah, I just want you to make the note, make sure that your own filters don't get in the way when you're articulating a vision or a goal with a client, right? So, you know, the example I always use is, you know, in the business world, you know, because I do business coaching, in the business world, there's this kind of unchecked filter or expectation or whatever it is that, like, everybody should be building an empire, right? Like, if you're going to be a coach or a transformational leader, you know, your goal should be to build an empire. Now, that is a very aligned goal for a lot of people out there, but there are just as many people out there that that's not an aligned goal for them. It's not what they want. It's not what they need. It's not what they're meant to do. It's not within their ability level. It's not right for the lifestyle that they want, right? But if their filter isn't checked and your filter as the coach isn't checked, when you go to create a vision and create goals, then you're going to end up with a misaligned goal. I'll give another, I think this is a good example. I was actually on the phone with a client earlier this morning, and she was saying, like, you know, I don't quite have the energy to generate right now. And this is a client I've worked with for a long time, and she's created so much. And also, you know, because I'm just such a big believer in there are moments to generate and there are moments to not generate and to be more still, like we have that language between us and all of that. And the last couple of months, she's been in this really still place. And, you know, when she said, I just don't feel like I have the energy to generate right now, I had to check my own filter in that moment, because there was a part of me that's like, shouldn't you start creating now? Like, I see this and that. She's ready for all of these things, right? But, like, that's not the short-term vision for her right now, you know, at least for the next 6 weeks. Her goal or her vision is about creating more space, right? So we really want to check our filters when we're co-creating visions and co-creating goals. The other mistake that often happens when practitioners are co-creating visions with clients is that they don't dive deep enough into real exploration in order to get clarity. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes there's more under than what the surface will reveal. And what I mean by that is most people don't allow themselves to vision for real. Or they kind of over-vision unrealistic things. So for many of us, just from the time that we were little, we weren't granted full permission to articulate really what we want, to not go by anybody else's expectations or desires or beliefs except for our own, right? We just, you know, even with the most supportive parents or guardians or primary people in our lives, because of the way that culture works, most of us have actually not internalized giving ourselves full permission to vision exactly what we want. And I really see the coaching relationship and the coaching container as a corrective vehicle for, you know, so many kind of old dynamics. And one of those dynamics is I really see the coaching container, the coaching relationship, as corrective for this permission piece. It's a place not only to help our clients vision, but to actually create an environment where they learn more and more and more to give themselves the permission to articulate exactly what they want for themselves. So to help us just go deeper into this point, just for a few minutes, I've got some journaling questions for you, just so that you can explore this point for yourself a little bit more, this permission-giving muscle when it comes to visioning. So here's the first question. I'll give you about a minute to answer it. When you were a child, how were you given permission or not given permission to vision for yourself? When you were a child, how were you given permission or not given permission to vision for yourself? Take a moment with that one. As part of this question, think about also what was modeled for you. Did your parents or guardians or primary caretakers or people that you looked up to, even as a kid, right, we get this sense like, were they really living, giving themselves permission to live the lives that they truly wanted or not? Were they giving themselves permission to really do the work that they really wanted to do or not? Next question. As an adult, how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision, like no holds barred, really be clear on what you really want for yourself or your health or your business or your relationships or your home or whatever it is? Are you, how often and like what percentage are you at, right? Like I see it sometimes for myself too. I'm like, I decide what's, sometimes based on shoulds or possible or not, and I'll maybe create 80% of really what I want for my business vision for the year, but I don't, it takes some nudging and for me to be aware or a good coach for me to like really go that extra 20% to fully give myself permission to vision the whole thing out and go for it, right? So how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision? And, like, generally in your visioning, your goal setting, like, all of that, at what percentage? I hope that question makes sense. If not, let me know. Like, what percentage are you at in terms of, like, really giving yourself permission? And then last question, when you do vision, how seriously do you take it? Like let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, how seriously do you take your vision? Like 10 is you take it so seriously, you're on it, you're working towards it, you believe in it, all of that, and 1 is like, no, right? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how seriously do you take your vision? And then why do you or not take your vision seriously? Why do or don't you take your vision seriously? So So the reason why we're doing this, we're looking at this, is because I want you to really understand your clients, you know, what can come up for your clients in terms of their behavior, response, you know, when you're visioning. I want you to kind of like understand them and their psyches a little bit more. It will give you so much wisdom to know how to move them forward. I want to hear some shares in a moment of what came through in the journaling and also just what you're seeing so far around this topic. As you're raising your hands, star two, I'll just share, you know, when I'm in enrollment conversations, when I'm leading somebody through a sales process and we move into there's a visioning part of the sales process, the way that I do it. The very first thing that I say is, you pretend like you have a magic wand, right? If you had that magic wand, what would you want? And what that little comment does is it gives the prospect a little bit more permission to actually lean into what they really want for themselves. So even in sales calls, I'm always looking to give permission to vision and to articulate the vision. So star two, I'd love to hear a couple of shares. What are you seeing so far? Star two, or where are you feeling stuck around this? But a couple people raise your hand just so I know that you're with me. All right, who is this? 1155.
Hi, Joanna. It's Ruth.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so one of the questions, I think it was a third question about on a scale of 1 to 10, how seriously do I take my vision? And I gave myself a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. And then to answer the next question about why do I not take it seriously, and what was coming up for me is that when I create my vision, like I've got like some really big vision, but when it comes down to the details, then I start to doubt that it's actually possible. And it's kind of like holds me back from taking the actions that I know would help me to create this vision.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what came up for me.
Yeah, so how is this helpful? Like, how is this awareness helpful for you? Just to be able to see that you're taking your vision kind of seriously, but not as seriously as you could, and it's because you don't totally believe that it's possible, and when you don't believe it's possible, you don't really take the actions or take them as boldly. How is that?
Yeah. Well, I can see this like a similar pattern with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they start out, they're all like excited, ready to go, and then somewhere like, and then a couple of calls down the road, they're like, you know, they're not really doing and you know doing the actions, and so I think it's helping me to understand that. When I see this happening with my clients, I need to work with them and take them back to what their vision was. And
yeah,
hopefully that would help them to come out of their shell.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. And, you know, if you know, because our ideal client is always a version of ourselves. And
yeah,
so if you know now that sometimes you don't totally believe in yourself,
mm-hmm,
when you're going moving towards a vision, that you're not totally serious and that's why you're not taking action, you know,
mm-hmm,
with some of your clients, that would be a beautiful discussion to open up and explore for them as well.
Okay.
So that
do you mean?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that. Do you mean like sharing my own, like, experience?
Mm-hmm.
with them.
Yeah, so back to, right, so like back to creating awareness skills, one of the ways to create awareness is to share our own experience, like a little bit of a storytelling, and then ask clients, you know, how that fits or doesn't fit in for them. That's definitely one way. Or another way, you know, all of those different creating awareness skills that I shared, or, you know, I have a sense that maybe, right, and then ask, and then you can just share it point blank and ask the client if it resonates, or you can do it through a question of, you know, how, you can even just ask, like, how do you feel like you're taking this goal as seriously as you would like to, or, do, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe that you can achieve this, and how is that, how is that showing up in your action taking, right? So there's lots of different ways that you can broach that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing. Heather.
Hi.
Hi.
So I found this really interesting. The last questions, you know, when I do vision and how seriously do I take it, I'm full on 10. You know, when I decide that I want something, this is what I want. And because I really, really want it so much with every fiber of my being that I can't not do it. So I go in that direction. But in the previous question, with the percentage I'm at, with like how I allow myself to really vision, it's lower. It's like 70 to 80%. And when I'm looking at, you know, why is that? Well, maybe it's because when we go back further to the other question about, you know, what I saw with my family. Sorry, something just happened with my phone.
That's okay.
That I remember, well, you know, my mom went back to school when I was in high school to get her degree, and she really wanted to be a teacher but decided not to because she thought she would be too old and wouldn't get hired, and so she decided to just go back to school to get her degree in general.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, so that's like going most of the way, but not quite there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a great example that you just gave of your mother, right? Because those are the kinds of things that stand in our way of that 100% articulating the vision, right? And we want to be watching those when we're supporting our clients. Well, are you, you know, is there a belief here that I'm too old? Is there a belief here? I was just, last week I was speaking with a client of mine. She's not a regular client. She's actually a very old client of mine. That way, we just had like a little spot session. And she's a songwriter. She's this incredible, incredible songwriter. And but she hasn't put an album out in a number of years. And she was saying she was about to go into recording a new album. And she was saying, just sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, 40 years old. Like, there's nobody becomes a rock star at 40. I've already missed the boat. Why should I, you know, why should I even, right? And those are the ways that we hold back from really articulating the vision and going for the vision. So I'm really glad that you're bringing that up. Good. Love to hear from one more person. Star 2, what are you seeing through this exploration? Susie.
Hi. So I hadn't really thought about this. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I grew up with this really interesting message that if you weren't completely in control of your mind, you were very weak and kind of an idiot. So anything along the lines of hypnosis or suggestibility, anything like that was like very loudly debunked in my family. And so I think I grew up not allowing myself to do any of those things, although I was interested in them. And so for me, I actually have to work really hard to, like, get over that speed bump and, like, do lots of, like, relaxing in the meditation to get to a place where I can even allow the visioning kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I love what you're bringing forward, at least in the way that I'm understanding it. So tell me if I'm getting it right, is that visioning isn't only done with your head. It's also done with your heart. And it's not just about, oh, this is what I think I want, but it's about really feeling in to what I want. And what you're noticing for yourself is that, like, when you just use those mental abilities, you're not totally hitting the target on the vision at that 100%. It requires more than that. Am I just totally reading into what you just said? Because that's what I'm hearing.
No, I think you just peeled back a layer for me that helps me understand it a little bit more, because I felt a little bit uncomfortable in the enrollment conversations when I start to go into the visioning, because I have just I have only what I learned in that enrollment conversations course. And so it's like, I'm like, okay, here's the magic wand. What are you supposed to do? And so I have thought of it as very much of a mindset kind of a thing. And I hadn't thought about the heart. So I appreciate that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad you're bringing it forward. And as we get deeper into the call, we're going to, like, lay out how to create vision with clients. That's actually a really important point. And I never articulated it in this way. So I'm glad you're bringing it forward just for me and for all of us. But that the visioning, like, true, right? And I bet you everybody on this call has had this experience too, like, the ding, 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 when we've hit the vision, it's not just about what we think. We need our minds, for sure. But it's about visioning with our hearts and our bodies and our souls as well. So I'm really glad you brought that forward. Great. Take one more quickie share, Kara.
Hi, Joanna. No, I just wanted to share something that came up for me in your first question. I realized as I just was reflecting on that I was raised in a church that had a big vision that I inherited around, like, saving the world. And that, you know, we were these, like, foot soldiers that were going to go out and do this, these, like, chosen people. And I just realized that part of me, like, is still holding on to this, like, huge vision that I was raised with of, like, my intended impact in the world, in a way that leaves me often feeling, like, not enough.
Yeah. Well,
and then I never really, translated that vision for myself. Like,
yeah.
Like, that I can have a big vision, but it can be specific to me. And so
I'm getting chills as you're talking. Yeah, you get to update that vision and make it fit you instead of fitting yourself into somebody else's vision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you're bringing that forward, because that's a big thing that clients struggle with and we want to be aware of. Is this their vision or someone else's? And we'll get even deeper in a moment. So glad you're seeing that for yourself, and thank you for bringing it forward.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. So as I said earlier, and hopefully you're starting to see more now, you know, just back to that house analogy, it is so worthwhile to take the time at the beginning of the coaching relationship, as well as to track throughout, to build the foundation, right? You want to take the time to build the foundation, or else nothing else matters. And visioning is a really important part of building that foundation. You want to take that time. You want to spend a session on it. Because, again, when you do vision the right way, it cuts down so much on being halfway through the coaching cycle and then having to actually ask your client, is this actually what you really want? Like, is this not working because you don't really want this, right? Not that it can't happen otherwise, but it just cuts down on the possibility of that happening. Okay, so how do you do visioning in a powerful way that sticks and flourishes. There's a bunch of different points I want to take a look at around this. So first of all, just to say that I, in my enrollment conversation, my sales call, we look at vision. And then when somebody says, yes, I want to work with you, I ask about vision in the welcome packet again. And then we also, even though we've looked at it in those two places, on our first call, we still touch on vision. Generally, not all the time, like I said, you want to take the time for it. It's not a five-minute discussion. I really, it takes the better part of a session if you're going to really lay out a full vision. An important thing for you as the coach to understand, and also for you to create awareness for your client, is that visions are subject to change and resetting, right? So this actually happens all the time, even if you've done it correctly, that as your client moves and shifts and grows or experiments in one way or, you know, this and that, they discover that their vision is going to shift a little bit, or they had a strength that they didn't realize they had and they're going, you know, 5 degrees in a different direction or whatever it is. So in order to avoid frustration or feeling like the coaching is not going the right way or any of that, it's important to have this understanding that it is subject to change. And it's also really important for you as a coach to be tracking your client and sensing if something has shifted for them and then talking about it. So in other words, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong as a coach if your client's vision shifts, so long as you don't let it go on and on and on and keep on taking actions towards something that actually isn't aligned anymore. I personally... you know, a lot of people will ask, or this is, you know, in a lot of like coaching, I don't know, PDFs or programs or I don't know, whatever it is, you know, people will sometimes ask, what's your 5-year vision? Personally, for me, I find this for my clients as well. You may be different, your ideal clients may be different. Personally, for me, I don't love this, like, what do I want 5 years from now? What do I want 10 years from now? I generally can't see more than a year or two ahead of me. It's just me. So you can ask questions like that. What do you want in 5 years? What do you want in 10 years? You know, all of that. And your clients might love that. And, like, you know, kind of that's a great place to sink their teeth into. But other clients may need to look a year out or 2 years out. Okay, I want to talk just a little bit about the difference between a vision and a goal, because that's something that you also want to be aware of when you're visioning with clients. So a vision for me is something that's a little bit bigger, right? It's often to the future. It's a year in the future, 2 years in the future. You know, I can maybe sometimes go 3 years out, right? That's a vision. A goal is a marker on the journey to the bigger vision. Something that's really, like, attainable within a year or less. I know that this is an obvious point, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is because oftentimes, a coach will start working with a client and they'll just jump into, like, to the goal without looking at the vision, right? So they'll jump into, like, in business coaching, you know, it might be like, I want to create a membership program. That's the new hottest thing, right? But if you haven't created just that bigger vision for your client, what do they want in 2 years from now? You know, it might be that the membership program is exactly the thing, but it might be that it actually doesn't fit into the bigger picture and it's just kind of like a shiny object or not the right thing, right? So before identifying a goal, which is a shorter term vision in a way, you do first, it is really important to identify a little bit of a longer term vision over, you know, a couple of years so that you can create aligned goals. And we'll look at that a lot more next week when we get into strategy, but I think it's an important point to mention. Because, again, you always want the vision, that bigger vision, to be the guiding light, right? Back to that road trip analogy, can't make a decision about the first stop of the road trip if you don't really know the ultimate goal. Okay, next piece that's important for you as the coach to be aware of as you're working towards creating vision with clients, we already started to dip into this, the difference between a desire and a should, right? If you've been in the self-help industry or transformational industry, you're probably aware of this, but sometimes we forget about this for our clients. So I just really kind of want to emphasize this. Too often, and Kara gave such a beautiful example of this, and actually Heather gave a beautiful example of this as well, right? Too often we're operating our life off of shoulds than off of real desires, right? So a should might be, What do I want? I really want to get married, right? Now, that might be right for someone, but you want to check in and make sure that that's not a should, that it's a desire. If it's a should, it might just be that person really wants to be in a loving partnership, right? But we want to make sure that we're helping them get clear on the difference. Another example, you know, I want to be that, I know I've fallen into this, I want to be like the perfect parent. I want to go to all the PTA meetings and be the one that, like, when my kids get home from school, the warm chocolate chip cookies that I just baked from scratch are on the table waiting for them, right? The truth is that that's, first of all, not attainable for me personally. but also, honestly, if I take a look at that, that's a should for me, right? That's out of some kind of like 1950s Better Housekeeping magazine or what my mother, the kind of mother that my mother thinks I should be. For me, the desire is really that, not that all of this is set and all of that, but like the desire is like that I have time in the late afternoons to be able to help my kids with homework, to connect with them. I've had a busy day. They've had a busy day. I just want to be present for them. It doesn't matter if the house is messy, if there's like a home-cooked meal or if we had to take takeout that night, right? Difference between desire and a should. And just, you know, so how do you know, when you're coaching, how do you know how do you help a client determine the difference between a desire and a should? And this will come up with bigger vision as well as the goals, right, and the project. So there's a couple of strategies that you can use to really move your client into the desire place versus the should place. Number one, and you know, Ruth asked about this in the Facebook group. She asked about the question why, and she said that she had heard that some people feel put off by it and what to do. So I personally love asking clients the question why. I have never found anyone to get resentful or upset or defensive. If I sense that a client is outlining a vision and that it's more of a should than a desire, then I might ask my client, well, why? You know, why is it that you want to get married? Why is it that you want to create a membership program, why is it that you want to create a three-day event with 200 people coming to it? The why question when you're visioning will really help your client begin to identify what their motivations are. And if the motivation is coming from a desire place or because they thought they needed to do it place. Another great question you can ask to help a client determine the difference between a desire and a should is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you really desire this? Right? So that's just like straight up asking the question, how much do you really desire this? Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you about this? Sometimes if I sense, as the coach, I sense it's a should. I do this for myself, by the way. If I sense I'm setting out to do something that's a should, I ask myself, how excited am I about this? Another great question to ask is, whose vision is that? Right? So when a client comes to you and says, you know, I want to be the kind of parent that this, 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 and that, and you sense that that's not in true alignment with who they are, you can ask a question, whose vision is that? Is that your vision? Is that your mother's vision? Is that your religion's vision? Where did that vision come from and whose is it? Another question you can use, and this goes back to what Susie was bringing up about the mind and the, you know, the vision like coming together with all parts of your being, not just your mind. Sometimes I like to say, okay, so when you think about that vision or you think about that goal, where are you feeling it in your body and how does it feel when you think about it or sense into it in your body? This kind of question can really bring a client out of shoulds or sets of beliefs and that kind of thing and just zoom right in, connect straight in. You know, our bodies never lie, right? Like we know if we feel excited about something in our body, if we feel just gross about something in our body, if it feels a little icky, but it's just because it's scary and a little intimidating versus, oh, my God, I just definitely don't want to do that, right? So, you know, where are you feeling this in your body and how does your body feel? And then another way to support a client in knowing the difference between a desire and a should, sometimes I will, one of the pieces of paperwork that I'll have a client fill out, like in the welcome packet, or I might just give it to them at a certain point in our coaching, is like a core values and priorities assessment. I'll provide a sample one for you guys in the membership group. Some people get really overwhelmed by it and confused by it. If you look over it and it feels overwhelming and confusing, just don't. You don't need to pay attention to it, but for some of you, you might resonate with it and want to create one of your own. I always really like to know, as a coach, what are my clients' core values? And when I know what their core values are and their core priorities are, then it's, again, it's like this guiding light when we're visioning either a bigger vision or goals. Like, I'll know, you know, pretty easily if it fits in or not. If we don't define our values, our needs, our priorities for ourselves, then our lives are misaligned from our hearts and what's true for us. And then our lives become based on other people's or society's values. And that's when we start sleepwalking. And that's when we get overwhelmed. So I always like to have a working sense of what my clients' values are. It really helps define the goals and the visions. Okay. I've got some inner work questions for you guys on this. I'm just looking at the time. Do we have time for that? Yeah. No. Yeah. Let's look at these lightly, and then I'll also give them to you for homework. Okay. When you think about your vision right now for your life or your business or relationships or, you know, whatever it is, a vision that you have, is your vision based on deep desire or shoulds? Or maybe it's a mix of both, right? So just take a moment and sense into that. And, you know, it might be like honing in on your business is the best. We're all entrepreneurs here. Like, what part of your business vision is based on deep, deep desire? And what part is based on shoulds? Just to get a sense for yourself. So just lightly, you can go back, and actually I recommend you get detailed with this and let you look at each piece and see which is a desire and which is a should. But just for right now, you know, just to get like a general sense for yourself. Here's another question. What is one thing that you're doing in your life right now that's really more for somebody else's satisfaction than for yours? What's one thing that you're doing in your life right now that's really more for somebody else's satisfaction than for yours? We all have one. So I promise you, you have one. You have at least one. What's one thing you're doing that's a should, basically? In your life, could be in your relationship with a parent, with a partner, something you're doing in your work, where you live, choices you've made. What's one thing that's really more for someone else's satisfaction than for yours? And then why, right? Why have you made that decision? So I'll give you an example from my own life. I call my mother at least one time a day, really multiple times a day, if I'm going to be honest. And a lot of that is for my own desire. I desire to be close with her. She's sick. I like to check in on her. But, you know, like the truth is also that it's mostly for her satisfaction because that's her idea of what a good daughter is. And she would just be so insulted and so hurt and not think of me as a good daughter if I didn't. All right. I'd love to hear shares on this, but I'll save those for the end because there's still a bunch of points I want to make sure I get through. So next point, after, you know, helping your client determine the difference between a desire and should, when you're visioning, you know, we already spoke about this, you want to, as the coach, part of your job is to give your client permission to really lean in to what she wants for herself. Energy follows energy. You're going to hear me say that like a million times in this training. Energy follows energy. If, as coaches, we're not giving permission, our clients aren't going to give themselves permission, right? So I know that it's my job when I'm visioning to give my client, like, energetic, both in the words that I say as well as the energy that I show up in, to give them full permission to know what they desire, to articulate what they desire, and then to plan to reach what they desire. So here are some questions that can help with that. These next two questions are from that book, The Magic Lamp, that I was sharing earlier on the call. So what would you really want to accomplish in life if you were absolutely, positively certain you would do it? right? And you can adjust that for whatever you're helping your client work on. What would you absolutely want to accomplish in your health if you were absolutely positively certain that you could do it, right? And then the other question is, what would I really want from life? What would you really want from life if you were absolutely positively certain you would get it? Right? Those are two questions that really give permission to vision. Sometimes I'll ask my client, are you really willing to give yourself permission to vision here? Sometimes, or I'll say, to think bigger here. If I know that that's a value or that's a desire for them to be bigger, are you willing to give yourself permission here? Right? Just by asking that question, it allows for more permission to be given. Next point, when you're visioning, be thorough. So, what that means is you want to take all the different pieces into consideration so that you can create a vision that is aligned and attainable. You want to get into all of the details with your clients. When you're not thorough, then the vision doesn't totally end up either attainable or what they really want, or both. And so I'll give you an example of what I mean by be thorough. So again, to use the business coaching example, when I'm working with a client to either create a vision or create a vision, a goal, we're going to be looking not just at the run-of-the-mill things that you would think about, right? Like, how much income do you desire? How many people do you desire to serve? What's the impact that you want this project to make, right? But we're also going to be looking at how much time do you have? Where's your health at and your energy level at? How much effort do you want to be putting towards this? What else is going on in your life right now? Do you have vacations coming up? Is a child getting married? Whatever it is, what are the other desires, right? You want to be totally thorough. Do you like working with other people? Don't you like working with other people? You know, all of those pieces, so that you can create something that really sticks. Next piece you want to be aware of when you're visioning with clients, you want it to be a stretch. So my philosophy, and I'd love to hear from you if you feel differently, but my philosophy is that, like, my clients aren't coming to me in order to accomplish things that they could accomplish on their own. They don't need to invest that kind of money. They're coming to me to accomplish things that they can't accomplish on their own, or that's more difficult for them to accomplish on their own, because it's a stretch for them in one way or another. I think, for as much as I'm a creature of comfort, and I love, and there are moments in life or throughout the day, whatever, throughout the month, throughout the year, there are moments to be comfortable 100%. I think part of my philosophy in life, and this is a guiding light, I think, for Sacred Depths coaching and coaches, is that, you know, we always want to be at peace. We want to find our comfort. But life is about stretching. And kind of to go deeper into my philosophy is that it's about things that are doable with a stretch. So not, I'm not talking about impossible stretching, doable with a stretch. And so when I'm visioning something with a client, I'm making sure it's a little bit, it's a little stretchy for them. It's a little bit on their edge. Not so much that it's terrible, right? Or that they have to overwork or anything like that. But that they're getting to a new place for themselves. So I love this concept. Cheryl Richardson writes about it. She calls it stretch, risk, or die. And what she says is that she's not talking about coaching other clients. She's just talking about when you're setting goals for yourself or even action steps for yourself, not even, you know, it could be the full big vision or just the action steps. She always says that you want to be in the stretch or risk place. You want to be taking actions or moving towards goals or visions that stretch you or maybe even feel a little risky for you. But what you don't want is to move into the I would rather die than do that place. I mean, I think that has its place sometimes when we're coaching too, right? But generally speaking, if you're pushing a client on their vision or their goal so hard that like they feel like they would rather die than do it, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get very far with that. You don't want to keep them totally in their comfort zone either. You want it to be a stretch or a risk. So take a moment and reflect for yourself. When you think about your visions and your goals, where do they generally fall? Into total comfort, stretch, risk, or die? Where do your goals generally or your visions generally fall? Comfort, total comfort, stretch, risk, or die. Next question. Where is one place, like just pick any place in your life or your work, your relationships, your health vision, whatever it is, where's one place that you could maybe just stretch yourself or risk a little bit more? I'll give an example for myself is in my business when it comes to video. Video for me used to be I would rather die than do that. And because of that, I didn't do video Facebook Lives for a really long time. And like I inched towards it so that it became more of a risk, just a risk, not I'd rather die than do this, like please just shoot me now, right? But like this feels really, really risky and I feel scared, but I feel like I want to do it, so I'm going to do it, right? And so I every now and again I'll do a Facebook Live. I get such great responses when I do video, when I do Facebook Lives. I absolutely should do them more, but I'm just like, I don't want to get out of my yoga clothing and put on makeup and, you know, I still have some of the fear or whatever. I know that that's a place that to risk into or stretch into a little bit more, and actually that's part of my plan for 2019 is to do more. I'm actually going to do one on Thursday. I'm going to do a Facebook Live, right? So where's one place that you could just stretch or risk just a little bit more? Next, just inner question for yourself. When you think about stretching, what can help you endure your stretches better and your clients too? Like, what are some things that can help with stretching? All right, a couple of other pieces I want to share about visioning, and then we'll open up for what you're seeing for yourself and any questions you have. Next important piece we already kind of dipped into is that when you're visioning with a client, part of your work is to help your client believe in this goal, in this vision, right, whatever it is that you're visioning. Because if they don't believe it, just like Ruth, you know, so beautifully articulated, when you don't believe in it, you're not, the actions don't really come off in the way that you want to, them to. So how do you help clients believe in their visions and in their goals? Well, number one, again, energy follows energy. Part of your job as the coach is to believe in your clients. I know this is so obvious, but I actually want you to write this down, because coaches miss this or forget this or trip on this all the time. We stop believing sometimes in our clients. Energy follows energy. The more that you believe in your client, the more that's going to come through in every single interaction that you have with your client, and then the more they're going to believe in their goal, that it's attainable for them. The other way to support clients in believing in their visions is to go back to celebrating, right? We looked at that in creating awareness. And so oftentimes at the beginning, both at the beginning or in the middle of a project or a goal or vision, you know, whatever it is, I'll ask some celebration questions like, you know, if we've just visioned something, I may ask, you know, what are the inner resources that you have that will help you achieve this? And what are the outer resources that you have that will help you achieve this? I might ask, what have you already created that gives you evidence that you can now create this next thing that we've just plotted out? What is it that you've already done or that you've already created that gives you evidence that you can do this? And then another question I like to ask at the beginning is, who will you need to be in order to create this, in order to go to achieve this vision or get to this goal? Who will you need to be, and are you willing to be that person? All right. Next piece, we already looked at this in our second class, but I just want to remind you of it here, is it's really important when you're visioning with a client to know what season your client is in. So I'm really, you know, I'm a student of the seasons and the cycles, and I know that there are moments in our lives that we're in spring and summer and we've got a ton of energy for generating and for doing and for manifesting and for making new things happen and outward and, you know, all of that. But then there are other moments in our lives where we're really in autumn or winter, and the work that actually we need to do is releasing before we can get to the next cycle of releasing and stillness. And we're going to look at this much later in the program, how to do those things. We just want to make you aware of, again, of the cycles now, right? Before you get to the spring again, to the generating and the growing and the manifesting and all of that. Know what season your client is in, because if they're in an autumn or a winter cycle, it's not going to make sense to create goals that are you really need to be in spring or summer for. Okay, I think I'm gonna stop here for now. Next week, we're going to get into sort of like the next step of this, which is looking at the energetics of new things and strategizing. For now, I'd love to hear, I've got some homework. I'll give it to you in a moment. But I'd love to hear your takeaways or your questions. So take a moment and just write down for yourself, like, what are you really seeing and taking for yourself from this call today? And star two, what are you taking away, or what questions do you have for me about visioning? Or what do you want to share from some of the journaling questions that we looked at? I want to hear from a couple of you to make sure you guys are with me, and also because the shares are just so valuable. Star two. All right. Who is this? 8760 are your last numbers.
Hi, this is Gail. I know I have a California number, but I'm actually in New York. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, no, I wasn't sure you heard me.
Yeah.
Well, I really was just, when you were giving the guidelines for the questions about visioning and what was modeled for you, I was really thinking of my parents and my maternal grandmother and my paternal grandmother, and whether or not my parents lived the lives that they truly wanted. So my mom, I had basically, no, not really. I mean, she did what she thought was necessary, and she didn't, there were things that she didn't do because she felt she had obligations, and those were primary. And my father did what he wanted to do in terms of business, but some of his personal life was a no. And my maternal grandmother was my permission and freedom, and my paternal grandmother was my criticism and control. And then I started looking at how, when you asked how seriously do you take your vision, that I definitely tend to override my own commitments that I've made to myself for to accomplish things for other people.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, I totally got
choked. Yeah.
I was so like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
And I've never looked at that way before. It was just very, very, it was like a little revelation for me.
Yeah, I can feel that. Really good work. So I'm going to give you just a couple of places if you want for deeper exploration. This is
mm-hmm.
great inner work for you. And just like for everyone on the call, you know, just you can start thinking more like also, you know, with clients, right? So number one, I would love for you to follow yourself for a week. And anytime you do anything that's really not for you, but it's like, cause there's an expectation from someone else, I want you to
mm-hmm.
keep a log of it. I want you to track it. I want you to write down the day, the time, what you did, and why.
Wow.
Tracking will help you understand it more, but you'll also find maybe that you won't do it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, you know, if it resonates, that I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to journal a dialogue with that. I forget if it was the paternal or the maternal grandmother that gave permission, the one that really represents permission.
Oh, my goodness. Maternal.
maternal. Beautiful. So if it resonates, deepen your relationship with her. Have her write letters to you. And you can write back to her. Strengthen that permission muscle, and you can do it through dialoguing with her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Awesome. Good.
Sounds
good.
Like
good. Great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Take a couple more shares here. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Mine, I actually had a question first.
Mm-hmm.
At one point you said, when you think about stretching, I think this is, we were supposed to journal on this for, it was a question for ourselves. What can help you endure your own stretches more?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, you can also, you know, use this with your clients. And I was like, kind of stuck.
Yeah.
What could help me, and what might I help my, how might I suggest my clients endure their stretches more? What is your advice on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing is baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just easier to stretch when we do it in little increments. I was talking to a client earlier today. She wanted to change her rates. And, you know, there's some coaches that are like, just triple your rates, you know. And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. Like, that is absolutely one way to do it. But I found for myself, again, because I'm risk averse and because that is almost like I'd rather die than triple my rates, I can stretch in baby steps, right? I can, like, raise my rates a little bit and then maybe a couple months later raise my rates a little bit then, right? So, like, I can create that resilience and that endurance by doing it in small steps. Another way is about just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? And reminding myself that it's okay to feel a little stretchy. That doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. But it's an important question, and I'm gonna I'll start it as a thread in our Facebook group because I don't have time. I wanna give people homework, and there are a couple other shares, but I'd love to hear what other people came up with, and we can have more of a discussion on that there.
Yeah, perfect. I'll just add two that I came up with for myself or on my stretches, mm-hmm. is identifying sort of the myth of perfection, that, like, you can just put this out there. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yes.
And just identifying and sitting with the fear and being able to recognize it just as, like, a false feeling.
Yes. Yes, and we will do full calls on both of those separately, too. But yes, 100%. Really awesome. I'm
great.
Glad
I just wanted your tidbits as well. Thanks.
All right, I'll take one more share, and then I'll give you guys your homework. Sophie.
Oh, hi. I wanted to share that for the area in which I'm doing something for someone else that's not for my own satisfaction. Actually, it's just one. It maybe is more than one thing, but there's one thing that shows up over and over again, and it's that I'm overly helpful to other people's pleas for help. So, like, mm-hmm. I've been noticing that the way people kind of get more energy from me than I'm normally comfortable with giving is, so, you know, sometimes when things work on people, like, people will do it more to get their needs met. And for me, it happens when people, you know, they act like victims and, or they kind of, so it's like specifically when people act like victims, I become really helpful and, it really messes up the playing field. And I realize for me, it's because I'm afraid they won't make it if I don't give them extra help. And, I'd like your insight, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a question to journal on, and then we can totally talk about it more. But what I want you to write this down. where did my savior complex come from? And what does it do for me?
Okay.
All right, and see what wants to come through there.
Sure, okay.
Okay, great. All right, so homework for this week. If you have a coaching partner, I want you over this week and next week to do a full session. So instead of splitting your time like you usually do each week, this week one of you will take a full session and next week the other one of you will take a full session. I want you to do a visioning session with your coaching partner, using all of the principles that we looked at today. And it can either be like a bigger general life vision or a vision for a goal or a particular area of their life, whatever it is. But I want you to really take the time to plot out a vision and look at all of these pieces. The other thing is in your just your coaching calls, if you're working with clients, I want you to be working with giving permission, whether it's a vision, a goal, or action steps, really giving permission, and then really looking at the differences between shoulds and desires with your clients. I'm going to post for you, the team will post for you that values worksheet if it's overwhelming. Don't worry about it, but it might be something that you really resonate with that you may want to adapt for your own practice, so you'll have that. And I may have skipped over some journaling questions because of time. If I did, I will make sure that you get those journaling questions as well. Please post your takeaways in the Facebook group. Let's continue the conversation, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.